This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the High Court has granted bail for a Donegal man wanted in the north in connection with the murders of two British soldiers in 1972. The head of the European Central Bank has warned the Irish economy is most at risk from overheating and Brexit. Mario Draghi has been addressing an Oireachtas committee this afternoon. Meanwhile, the Tánaiste says suggestions of a breakthrough in Brexit negotiations can't be taken for granted. The government and the HSE say they're committed to the retention of long-term residential care at community hospitals in Stranorra and Remelton, but there's no confirmation of the long-term future for the hospital in Lifford. All those stories to follow, and a little later in the bulletin at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Good evening. The High Court has granted bail to a Donegal man wanted in the north in connection with the murders of two British soldiers in 1972. Alleged IRA bomber John Downey was detained at his home on Monday on foot of a European arrest warrant. Court's correspondent Frank Graney has more.
Two British soldiers died when a car bomb went off in Enniskillen, County Fermanagh, in 1972. And in June last, authorities in Northern Ireland decided to prosecute John Downey on two charges of murder and a charge of aiding and abetting an explosion. Before the High Court in Dublin today, he applied for bail ahead of the hearing of an extradition application, which he intends to contest later this month. Garthy objected, claiming he's now a flight risk because of the gravity of the offences and the likely sentences if convicted. But Mr Downey's barrister claimed he'd no history of bench warrants and abided by all bail conditions when he was on trail in the Old Bailey in London for the alleged murders of four soldiers in the Hyde Park bombings in 1982. That trial collapsed when it emerged Mr Downey had been given a letter of immunity in 2007. Mr Downey's bail was set at €30,000.
The head of the European Central Bank has warned the Irish economy is most at risk from overheating and Brexit. Mario Draghi is addressing an Oireachtas committee today. He says the overall state of the Irish economy is good. He noted Ireland is more exposed than most countries to the risk of a hard Brexit. And he said policies need to be put in place to prevent the economy from overheating.
Risks. There are two sets of risks. One we've just discussed, and the other one is overheating. It wouldn't be the first time. And there are some legacy vulnerabilities, especially the non-performing loans. So what to do? First of all, build fiscal buffers, rebuild fiscal buffers, and that's a good time because things are going well.
Well, the Tánaiste is warning against expectations of a potential breakthrough in the Brexit negotiations. Simon Coveney is warning just because British ministers may agree a proposal on the backstop, that doesn't mean a final deal is guaranteed. A cabinet meeting in Britain to approve Theresa May's plans has been delayed after more tensions arose among British ministers. But addressing the Irish Canada Business Association today, Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney said even if ministers in Britain agree, that's not necessarily the end of the matter.
An imminent breakthrough is not necessarily to be taken for granted, not by a long shot. People seem to make the same mistake over and over again, assuming that if the British Cabinet agrees something, well, then that's it then. Everything is agreed. This is a negotiation and needs to be an agreement, of course, between the British government, but also the European Union and the 27 countries.
The government and the HSE say they are committed to the retention of long-term residential care at St Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorra and the Community Hospital in Remelton. Promises of upgrades and renovations were made at a meeting last evening involving HSE officials, the Junior Health Minister and a delegation from the Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Group. These upgrades would ensure that the facilities comply with HICWA standards. Donegal TD and Laskan Gorlapat, Cope Gallagher says these commitments must now be acted on.
The main point is that the plan, which was unveiled in 2016 with no funding for any of the hospitals, has now been reversed. And Minister Daly, who has responsibility for older people, has told us that there is a future for St Joseph's. It presently has 67 beds. Under the new plan, it will have 65. Remelton has 30, and it will have 33 under the new plan. But all of this will comply with the highest HICWA standards. So we would expect that they will go to design in 2019. and hopefully construction 2020-2021. Of course, we must be very vigilant. We must exert every pressure on the Minister, on the HSE and on the Department to ensure that this happens, because there have been a few false dawns as far as we've been concerned, but we have to welcome this development. It is the start of a new process, and we will have to, over the course of the next number of months, when the funding will be made available, to ensure that there is a very definite timescale.
However, Lifford Community Hospital's position will not be reviewed until 2021, with no commitments given about its long-term future. Lifford councillor Jerry Crawford says the local community is considering the situation there.
Lifford Hospital would be maintained until 2021, that there was no question of a closing. But after 2021, that would be dependent, any capital investment would be dependent on the census results of 2021, which many feel, and I feel, will suggest that there is a need for such a facility. But he did volunteer and made the suggestion that going forward, the many communities would benefit from the an initiative that would see a community facility linked to a housing programme, and that they felt that that was a way forward for many communities. And he agreed that if such an application was to come from the Lifford area, from the Lifford, that is something that he personally guaranteed is something that they would seriously look at. Now, that was the way that they were pointing as going forward. Any suggestion that the minister made, or any response that the Lifford committee would have on that, we'll have to wait until they meet.
And that was Councillor Jerry Crawford. There were 26 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, 22 down on yesterday. Of those waiting today, 4 were on emergency department trolleys. Nationally, the INMO says there were 525 people waiting in hospitals across the country, 57 waiting at the hospitals in both Limerick and Cork. Meanwhile, the South Donegal TD is claiming the Taoiseach and health ministers are effectively commentators on the health crisis rather than acting as those with responsibility to resolve it. Mark McSharry, a Sligo Leitrim South Donegal TD, says it's necessary that the Taoiseach and the health minister provide the resources to deal with the crisis which is affecting the Northwest. Yesterday, a total of 93 people were awaiting admission to hospitals in Letterkenny and Sligo, with the full capacity protocol in place at Letterkenny University Hospital as a result of high volumes. Deputy Mark McSharry says Leo Varadkar must be criticised after he suggested hospital workers shouldn't take leave at Christmas. He says the crisis needs to be addressed, and with real policy and with real commitment, not just by pointing the finger at other people.
All indications are things are going to get worse in the months ahead. I think we had the most peculiar reaction from government, where Leo Varadkar said that the plan of recent years had not worked, and therefore the plan for this year is to have no plan. So what we've seen is consistently across all departments, but particularly on health, is crisis commentary by Taoiseach Varadkar and Minister Harris. He flabbergasted us all in turning the blame on nurses and doctors. If you took the Association of Emergency Medicine Consultants nationally and their spokesman Fergal Hickey, that's actually based at Sligo University Hospital. He has for 5 years or more now been identifying the problem has been supply of acute beds and staff retention and recruitment. The government have done nothing to address this, and yet we have this commentary that they're continually doing. And it's time that the Taoiseach suspended this chosen role of being a commentator and start showing the little bit of leadership.
And this is not the first year that we have seen a winter crisis coming down the track, so a plan should have been put in place.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be money. I mean, all through the difficult years when there was cuts and so on, one of the first departments to be recuperated in terms of the amount of money that's been available, like over 16 billion for next year, we've had cost overruns every year. So the question is the appropriate political leadership and management being given to ensure that these crises are met on an annual basis? I mean, they're not new, as you've rightly said, and yet the latest tactic is to blame nurses and doctors, those of whom that we all know are to the pin of their collar trying to provide the level of service that they are.
And that was Deputy Mark McSharry. Stobart Air says it has now carried over 1 over 10 million passengers as part of its franchise agreement with Aer Lingus. The Donegal to Dublin Air Service is one of a number operated by the company on behalf of Aer Lingus Regional, with a 20% increase in passenger numbers on its PSO routes in Donegal and Kerry. With more, here's Caroline Orr.
Since entering into the deal with Aer Lingus in 2010, Stobart Air said it has invested over 170 million on its fleet renewal programme. That includes new aircraft worth 14 million to service Ireland's PSO routes, which connect Donegal and Kerry to Dublin and beyond. The company said it has now carried 10 million passengers on its Aer Lingus branded plane since 2010, as well as doubling its workforce to 600. The airline recently renewed its contract to operate the PSO routes connecting Kerry and Donegal to Dublin and beyond. Over 8,000 people flew on these routes last month, representing a 20% increase in traffic on last year. Since 2010, service under the franchise agreement has more than doubled, increasing from 12 to 25 regional routes across Dublin, Cork, Shannon, Kerry and Donegal.
Concerns been expressed that a major review of the structural integrity of new schools across the country may further delay the proposed three-school campus in Buncranagh. It follows last month's confirmation that a site identified for the project has been sold. Councillor Nicholas Crossan says it's feared locally the cost of potential repairs to various schools could delay progress for the Buncranagh education project.
Obviously, the closure of some of the schools and busing of children from one school to another is going to put an added extra money onto the educational bill for this particular year. And my biggest concern is that if this money is taken out of the budget, will it affect the three-school campus in Buncranagh? The minister's come out and said, obviously, there's a capital budget there for the purchases of land and the building of schools, and says that it would not interfere with it. But I would like clarification on it. Have they put in X number of euro for refurbishment of schools and the repairs that they have, plus the fact that what I'm saying here is once again that the Irish taxpayer is going to be left holding the bill at the end of this, because engineers have signed off on this here, and as far as I'm concerned, it was self-certification by a company. And to me, that's just not good enough.
And I suppose you're also concerned that the money effectively may come out of the same pot for both.
There is only so much in the budget, the educational budget for the year. Once again, we'll go back that certainly hundreds of children in Dublin were able to be bused overnight to a different school. But yet we're fighting down here in Donegal for to change one child here and two or three people here. And it's gone on for 3 months. You know, it's just a crazy situation. It just shows you another thing of rural Ireland and Donegal being forgot about, Kath.
More than 3,000 medical negligence cases are being dealt with by the state, including 73 relating to cervical check. The expected cost of the cases is expected to be in the region of 2.4 billion. 113 will cost more than 10 million each to settle. They're expected to account for 1.4 billion of the total cost. Public Accounts Committee Chair Sean Fleming says the numbers speak volumes.
The Public Accounts Committee has to look at these figures because the issue of medical negligence is a major bill, and I think it goes without saying, the less medical negligence, the more money the HSE has for its work in the health service and building hospitals, etc.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Find the perfect running shoe for you at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 17 minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Ireland coach Joe Smith has made 12 changes for his side for Saturday's test with Argentina at the Aviva. Jordan Larmour continues at fullback with Rob Kearney ruled out with a shoulder injury. Jacob Stockdale retains his place in the wing with Bundy Aki continuing at inside centre and partnered by Robbie Henshaw. Keith Ayres, Jonathan Sexton and Kieran Marimon all come into the backs. And there's an all-new pack with captain Rory Best joined in the front row by props Cian Healy and Tadhg Furlong. James Ryan partners Ian Henderson in the second row, and there's 127 caps worth of experience among the back row with Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and CJ Stander all returning. Meanwhile, Smith says injured pair Kearney and Gary Ringrose will be fit for the visit of the All Blacks. The coach has been explaining what he's hoping to gain from Saturday's visit of the Pumas.
Post Saturday, I'd like to think that we can look at things and be more comfortable that either we've put something together or we've got a few more things that we've learnt that we can put together for the following week and the weeks beyond it.
Meanwhile, Argentina coach Mario Ledesma has made five changes to the side that lost 45-34 to Australia in the final round of the Rugby Championship. There's a surprise in the team with lock Guido Petty named to start at open side. Mateus Alemano slots into the second row, with props Santiago Medrano and Santiago Garcia both coming into the side. And in the backs, there's a start for scrum half Thomas Cubelli and wing Batista Del Ghiai. Elsewhere, Chris Ashton will start an England game for the first time in 4 years on Saturday. The Sale wing has been named in Eddie Jones' side to face the All Blacks at Twickenham. And the other changes from the side that edged out the Springboks, Ben Moon, he starts at loose head with Sam Underhill at open side flanker. Moving on to soccer, and Stoke manager Gary Rowett says James McLean has received death threats following last Saturday's draw with Middlesbrough. The Republic of Ireland winger was involved in an altercation with his own fans over his decision not to wear the remembrance poppy. That altercation resulted in McLean calling those fans uneducated cavemen on social media, something that earned him a warning from the FA. But Rowett says death threats and packages have been sent to McLean. The Potters manager says McLean's reaction to the abuse was ill-judged, while the PFA have offered their full support. Elsewhere, Stephen Reid says he's interested in the vacant Republic of Ireland under 21 job. The former international midfielder holds a UEFA Pro licence and was recently on the coaching staff of Premier League side Crystal Palace. Noel King retired from the position yesterday after 8 years in charge. And the Republic of Ireland under-17s, they start their international tournament tonight. That's against England at the Talis Stadium. Kick-off's at 8 o'clock. Derry City's Ronan McKinley is named among the 21-man squad for the tournament in Dublin, which will see Ireland also play Germany and the Czech Republic. With qualification already assured as host for next year's UEFA under-17 European Championships, the under-17 international tournament will serve as preparation for the 2018 finals. Cross channel, Chelsea can secure their place in the last 32 of the Europa League tonight. Maurizio Sarri's indicated that Eden Hazard will start the game away to Bati Borisov. That starts at 5:55 in Belarus. Another early start sees Rangers take their unbeaten start in Group G to Spartak Moscow. Arsenal are another side that could relax after tonight, with Unai Emery's side at home to Sporting, while Celtic, they badly need a win with when they play RB Leipzig at Parkhead. That one's in Group B. Elsewhere, Bournemouth striker Callum Wilson has received his first England call-up for the games against USA and Croatia. He scored 7 goals so far this season. Everton defender Michael Keane has also been recalled after his impressive recent form. Wayne Rooney, he's included in the squad for USA friendly only and will win his 120th cap. England manager Gareth Southgate has defended his decision to include Wayne Rooney in that squad, despite some former players saying allowing Rooney to make a farewell appearance devalues the England shirt. Southgate believes it's a perfect way to pay tribute to a great player.
If anybody deserves one more cap, it's somebody that's had 119, more than somebody that's had one. I think he's earned the right to that cap over a period of over 10 years and 6 major tournaments with England, and to be the record goal scorer.
Finally, in golf on the European Tour, Shane Lowry is the best of the Irish at the end of the opening day at the Nedbank Challenge. The Clara golfer shot a 1-under par round of 71, but he's still 7 shots adrift of Sergio Garcia. The Spaniard is 4 shots clear of the field on 8-under par following a flawless opening round of 64. Rory McIlroy's level par, Patrick Harrington's 1-over. Paul Dunne, he had a disastrous open round, ending the day on 6-over par following a 78 in Sun City in South Africa. And on the PGA Tour this week, it's the Mikoba Golf Classic in Mexico. In the early stages, leading the way are Matt Kuchar and Gary Woodland, both 7-under par through 15 holes. Later on this evening, Irishman Graham McDowell and Seamus Power, they both tee off. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thanks, Kenny. The Justice Minister has poured cold water on calls for a new Garda station in Carndonagh. Authorities in on Garda Síochána as long ago as 10 years ago said a new station was needed there as the current building is unfit for purpose. However, Minister Charlie Flanagan hasn't approved a new station. He's instead sanctioned remedial works to take place at the current building. Local councillor Albert Doherty says that's not enough. He's going to raise the issue at a JPC meeting in Lifford next week.
Yes, I'm very disappointed in the response to Deputy O'Leary's question in relation to a new build for Carndonagh. especially in the historical significance that it was identified as a need 10 years ago, that close on 104,000 has been put for remedial works at the present Carter station in the period since 2012. And now we're hearing that for a complement of a Garda sergeant and nine others, that there's further remedial works. This conversation commenced with Chief Super, and I want to acknowledge Chief Super. I want to acknowledge Superintendent Eugene McGovern and the Chair of the JPC, where they invited the elected and the community people in the JPC to have a conversation about plans to relocate the Garda complement on a temporary basis to Clonmany. We had that meeting in Carndonagh on the October 8th, and Superintendent McGovern was told, we require a Garda presence in Carndonagh. We require a new Garda station. We have now pursued this with the Minister. It doesn't look positive at the moment, but I intend to raise the matter at the JPC now on Monday, and I'm going to look for a delegation from the JPC to put this issue back on the agenda again so that we can have visible community policing in Carndonagh working from a new station.
Councillor Albert Doherty. Looking at the weather forecast, it'll be mainly dry tonight apart from some isolated showers in coastal areas, becoming breezy as southeast winds freshen, lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 5 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow wet and windy with southeast winds increasing further to become strong and gusty with gales on coasts. Rain spreading from the west tomorrow morning and into the early afternoon, heavy for a time. Highest temperatures 9 to 11 degrees Celsius, but the rain will clear tomorrow evening. Looking at the closing headlines, the High Court has granted bail to Donegal man John Downey, wanted in Northern Ireland in connection with the murders of two British soldiers in 1972. The alleged IRA bomber was detained at his Donegal home on Monday on foot of a European arrest warrant. He says he will be contesting his extradition. The head of the European Central Bank has warned this afternoon the Irish economy is most at risk from overheating and Brexit. Mario Draghi was addressing an Oireachtas committee. He says the overall state of the Irish economy is good, but he noted Ireland is more exposed than most countries to the risk of a hard Brexit. The government and HSE say they're committed to the retention of long-term residential care at St Joseph's Hospital in Stranraer and Remelton Community Hospitals, investments being promised to ensure they comply with HICWA standards into the future. However, no such commitments for Lifford. Next bulletin is at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 8th of November. The death has taken place of James Ruddy, Old Town Cooldaff. His remains will repose at his late home from 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 20 past 12 for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Bochan Cooldaff. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the oncology unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place of Patrick Harley, formerly of Ranahall and Glasgow. His remains will repose at his daughter Colette's home in Glasgow on Sunday the 11th and Monday the 12th of November. Funeral Mass will take place in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Cardonald, at 10 o'clock on next Tuesday, the 13th of November, with burial afterwards in St Conwell's Cemetery, Barhead. The death has taken place in London of Gladys Keating, née Given, Hatch End, Harrow, London, formerly of Hillhead, Ardra. Her remains will arrive at Belfast City Airport tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock and travel via Derry, Letterkenny and Lenties to arrive at the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, at 7:15. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of Philomena Doherty, Letcher Cooldaff. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan Cooldaff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Patrick Dinny Gallagher, Chapel Road, Brenalec, formerly of Carnegogue, Crawley. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Columbkill's Chapel, Brenalec, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Mrs. Eileen Doherty, 99, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 to 10, going to St. Enan's Cathedral for funeral mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 3 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Kathleen Philomena Doran, 48 Beach Road, Drumcern, Limavady, County Derry. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Matthew's Church, Drumcern, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Lena Carlin, Ballinacore, Crossroads, Killigordon. Lena's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of Vincent Lynch, 165 Learmount Road, Park, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning going to St. Mary's Church, Alton Ewer, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has taken place of Michael Benedict Breslin, Key Street, Moville. Michael's remains are reposing at his late home, with remains leaving there tomorrow morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Drung, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu if desired, to the local branch of Parkinson's Association of Ireland, care of Martin McGowan, McGowan's Funeral Home, or any family member.